what we're seeing real? Does it matter? Did it ever? Find out on Haunted MTL's High Art Camp with contributors Parzival, J.M. Brannick, and a special guest.
Welcome to High Art Camp, a podcast that is the end-all be-all if a movie can call itself art. I'm your host and highly awarded art critic, J.M. Brannick, a.k.a. Box Human, with my other host and highly awarded art critic, Parzival.
Hi.
We are two mega giants at the top of our game, coming to your novice, tender baby ears to settle once and for all. Is this art? Joining us today is guest mega super art critic, Nicole. Nicole, do you want to tell us some of your skills and interests?
Well, I have been interested in horror since I was probably way too young to be interested in horror. I've seen a ton of movies. I'm a published author. I write horror, science fiction, fantasy, and spend pretty much my entire life reading and analyzing stories. So,
right up your alley, this podcast is then.
Yep.
Okay, so today we are discussing, on our second episode, a classic film from Italian director, I forgot what he even wrote down, Humfried Humbert, or whatever his pseudonym was. It was Umberto Lenzi, though. His inspiration revolved around popular culture and exploitation genres of Italy, spy work, giallo, cannibal films. And we watched 1988's Ghost House. So we are going to be discussing some of the artistic merits of Umberto Lenzi's Ghost House, my choice this week. So we'll start off with the story. Feel free, guys, to interject if there's anything that I'm missing or anything of interest, and then we'll kind of get to our thoughts. So the story starts off with a father looking for his daughter after hearing a cat cry out, and he finds his daughter in the basement, where he also finds the cat is dead and also fake, real fake, and with the girl holding a bloody pair of scissors. So he punishes her by keeping her in the basement, and once he's gone, she comforts herself with an evil clown doll, which we all know is evil right from the get-go.
And leaves the cat on the steps.
Oh yeah, and he leaves the cat running up on the step.
Yeah,
you watch what you've done.
Yeah,
it's okay, it's a fake cat anyway.
So did anyone notice it looked like Henrietta Kitty Cat from like Mr. Rogers?
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was intentional because the little girl's name is Henrietta.
Okay. Oh, maybe
this is getting to deeper levels than I originally had thought. No, I didn't notice that.
Well, with his inspiration in pop culture, which kind of goes right along with my thoughts there too. Yeah, that may make sense. That may be a thing.
Well, upstairs we see him start to fix a light bulb when it begins to swell and then explode, and then suddenly we see a decaying hand with an axe creep up on him and strike him in the head with the axe. And then the mother finds the body and is also killed by a decaying hand person. And the little girl is still in the basement and she cries, clutching her doll. Dun, dun, dun. 20 years later.
20 years later. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
20 years later. Boom. So 20 years later, a radio dispatcher and his girlfriend record a strange message over the radio. They decide to track it down because it sounds like somebody is in need of help. So they track it down to this old house where they find a group of other people hanging around the house who also set up a radio. And as they begin to investigate, the little girl begins to appear before them, along with other strange happenings. And they start dying one by one in mysterious ways. And the radio dispatcher and his girlfriend begin to unravel the history of the place and the causes for the haunting, stemming back from when the family in the beginning was murdered there. They find the causes stemmed from the girl's father, who had been a funeral director, and during the funeral for a child, he had stolen the clown doll. And the clown doll was supposed to be buried for another child, with another child, but instead he stole it and gave it to his daughter. and this is why the house has become haunted. So radio guy saves his girlfriend from her spirit, and he burns the little girl's body, thus freeing the curse. So we think. So in the end, only radio guy, his girlfriend, and this other lady who has a really cool motorcycle survive the strange and deadly events. But later on, when we see the radio people walking downtown, we see, scary clown is in the mirror, and radio guy gets hit by a bus. So they're forever cursed.
It's in a shop window.
It was in a shop window. Sorry. Yeah. It could have, which you could buy it if you wanted it. So let's talk a little bit about this movie, how we feel about it, and how it's definitely art.
Definitely art.
I'm not biased at all. So
yeah.
Nicole, you said that you had some feelings about this.
I had some feelings. Largely stemming from the fact that one of my very favorite horror movies came out this exact same year. And maybe I'm just comparing the two of them unfairly, but Child's Play came out this same year. Mm. Now, Child's Play was super low budget. I think it was, what, 8,000? Hold on, I wrote down notes. $8.5 million. No, that's Lost Boys. $9 million for Child's Play. So super low budget. And yet the quality was better, the writing was better, the acting was better. There are lines from Child's Play that still shake me to my core as a woman in my 30s. It's just very hard not to compare the two because they are both about haunted dolls. And it feels like it's a niche, and I was so excited when I saw we were going to do this because I love haunted doll stories. I love haunted house stories. So this was greatly disappointing.
Why was it disappointing? It had a doll. And it had a house, and they were both haunted. There you go.
Got it.
It was Italian.
It was Italian. Funny story, by the way. In Italy, this movie is referred to as La Casa 3. Guess what La Casa 1 and 2 are?
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. Yeah, nothing to do with these at all.
And Witchery is La Casa 4.
Yeah. So that was super fun.
So see, it's in the wheelhouse of Evil Dead. Just like
but, it. No.
And much like Evil Dead, I was laughing really hard through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the intent was very different. Like,
yes.
Yeah, the laughter, the reason behind the tent and the laughter was very different. Yeah.
Yes, and nobody had an unfortunate incident with a tree.
No, they didn't. There was an unfortunate incident with a guillotine in an attic.
Yeah, because everyone has one of those in their attic, right? I've got like three of them.
Right, me too. Like, that's why you have to have a safety on your guillotine in the attic.
I'm curious, how long has this film been, I don't know, is this film appreciated of recent years?
Ironically, yes.
Okay, that's what I figured, because I got, you know, I don't think that this movie was put out as a horror comedy intentionally. I think it has just become one in recent years.
Well, I think a lot of, especially like in that time when they were making just tons and tons of Italian like horror genre mixes, just churning them out.
Yeah.
I think the intention was just churn them out, make the money, you know.
Yeah.
There are little small gems within those. I think that is when people start finding those little gems. Like when he throws a candelabra through Ghost Dog, that was a gem for me because I was like, that was amazing.
I couldn't get past the fact that Ghost Dog, first off, looked adorable. And also, she had very clearly recently had babies.
She did, yeah. That was in my notes. I was going to ask Pars what the significance and idea behind that was, that Ghost Dog was nursing.
That's the only dog they could find?
Well, it's all about the concept of a family and motherhood. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I do feel like it does have a theme. And I think the theme is actually a really good one that we often see in horror movies. But I think it's actually pretty relevant to the whole story. which is respect for the dead and respect for even the old traditions or the old ways or the old, I don't want to say traditions, you know, but the oldness of it, I guess. Because, you know, we see all of these new things in this movie. We see the radios, we see the lights exploding and things like that. You know, we see a clash of old versus new. And I'm not even talking about 1967 when the girl died, because I know that's so long ago, but I'm talking like way even before that, because that house looked like it was built in the 1800s easily. But I feel like that's kind of the overall arching theme, is that respect for the dead and that respect for people past, you know, centuries past.
Well, and I can say that, yeah, I see some deeper thought on trauma as far as, like, especially with the brunette and how there's this ghost house, this traumatic event that people get trapped in, and then you think you've escaped it, but it's still there, and it's still affecting people around you, that it's still killing people around you that were also involved in that. But that was only relevant, that theme to me was only relevant in the last portion of the film.
What do you think, Nicole?
Well, I can definitely tell that they were trying to go for those, but I feel like there were older films that did it much better. It felt like this one was, for lack of a better term, kind of trying for it, but not really trying for it. I mean, Poltergeist has the same themes. They did it beautifully. That came out in 82. The original House on Haunted Hill had the same themes, and that was way back in the black and white days.
Probably when that house was made.
Yeah, probably like way back when the house was originally built. That's a beautiful house, by the way. I will say that. That was a beautiful
frame. Yeah. It was a gorgeous house. And, you know, honestly, it made me very nostalgic for, like, the old, like, giallo movies and, like, Italian movies, because I'm so used to seeing, like, modern movies, and they're just so stark, and they're just so gray, and they're just so washed out, that I was like, ah, oh, color. There's color here. There's freaky wallpaper. I love it. It was fun for me. And stairs that are, like, weird. Weird stairs.
I did like the stairs.
Yeah. It made me, I appreciated that. It was visually entertaining.
Yeah. Very much feels like the writer was pulling what he thought people liked in horror and mismatched it all into one thing. And
Pepe was a perfect and seamless transitional character. What are you guys talking about?
Oh my goodness. That was so offensive. I can't even. That was so hard to watch.
What, Pepe, was he the black guy?
Yes.
He was one of the two. There were two.
Yes.
Oh. I liked exposition black guy. I wanted to see more of him because I thought he was actually really good.
I think the movie would have been better if we had seen more of him. More of him when he wasn't drunk and falling asleep.
Yeah.
Would have been nice.
I think it would have been cool if he had saved him from overalls.
Yes, that would have been very cool.
Yeah.
That's, what was that character's name? Volkos.
I really liked the skeleton hand guy. I really liked him.
He had charisma. I will give him that. Because I was like, okay, yeah, he's annoying. But you know what? He does have charisma. Like, the actor himself. I'm like, I want to see you in different roles.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think you would be a lot of fun in the right role.
Yeah. Yeah, that for sure. He was, I'm sorry, I have to say, the only actor in there who seemed like he was having a good time.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
It seemed like everybody else was kind of miserable.
Yeah, no one else wanted to be there. He was down for it. So I'll give him that.
He might have been just an extra that's like, no, give me lines. Just give me lines. You don't have to pay me.
I'm getting my SAG card out of this movie.
Right. I'm doing what it takes. I'll bring my own skeleton hand. I liked the concept of Pepe. And I liked the character. Because the radio people, I thought, were very bland. Mm-hmm. Although I did like their very, very interesting art on the walls. That looks like, I could probably do that. I could probably do that art. Did you catch that? It was like just smears, just like funky smears in his apartment.
Yeah.
I wanted his apartment.
Oh, I wanted his apartment.
I wanted his apartment. Parts, did you want his apartment?
I don't remember his apartment. I remember liking the house.
It was like that really, really wide space.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, like an open concept.
Yeah, like modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so which one would you choose, the house or the apartment?
Oh, the apartment for sure.
What about you, Pars?
Probably the house.
All right. You guys get both, and then I'll come and visit you both.
See, I hate to clean, so the smaller area I have, the smaller area I have to clean. So.
Yep.
Well, honestly, if you look at the house, it's fine the way it is. You know, spider webs something.
Can't be in a white area.
Okay.
That's fair, yeah.
You know, then you will have so much to show them because there's so many red rooms in the house. Red rooms and green rooms. And
there's a blue one, I think.
Yeah.
It's a kitchen.
Yeah. Lots of knives for them to play with. Well,
yeah, that guillotine in the attic that somehow doesn't let out any of the... That was one... I feel like this was such a miss, and I think this was my biggest problem with the movie, is there were so many missed moments. The thought of... Oh, what was his name? Michael? I have everyone's names written down. One second.
I only have Pepe's name written down.
Paul. Paul was the ham radio guy. He was kind of the main character guy.
Oh, okay.
The fact that he was hearing people in their last moments over his radio, you could have done so much with that. And they did it once as like a throwaway, and then they never went back to it. When the little girl was sliced in half, like, if you slice someone in half, gallons of blood are going to come out of them. They could have had that blood rain down on Susan while she was trying to take her shower. That would have been a great scene visually. It would have been gory, and they just didn't do anything with it.
Exact scenes I was thinking of too, where they could have just even focused on them and put care into them and just threw everything else out.
What did you guys think about the actual, like, the real gory scenes, like the lady with her cut throat and the fan blade?
Oh gosh, her throat, it was, the knife wasn't even in her throat, and she was hanging on her like this flap of skin.
I know, she's just hanging there.
Yeah,
like no one tried to escape any of the deaths. Every time someone came at them with a knife or something, they were just like standing there like, oh no, this is going to get me. I have plenty of time to move, but I'm not going to. Like, that was the slowest neck stabbing I have ever seen in my life.
How many neck stabbings have you seen?
I've seen a lot of movies, okay? I've seen a lot of movies and a couple Faces of Death videos I'm not going to talk about. But
for me, the eye part, I was like, oh, that's not great.
Yeah, that's not what that would look like.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, like, it wasn't, I mean, you could have just done scratches, you know, and that could have been fine. I kind of liked the blood on her shoe, though. That was a pretty little picture.
That was nice, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice little aesthetic. I did like the blood in the sink. I don't know why, but I don't like blood in sinks. So I thought that was pretty good. And then the blood got all on her shirt, and she's freaking out. I forget what her name was. She was the
Susan.
One that was...
Susan.
Okay. See, I don't write down names. I just write down what people do.
I liked her. I thought she was the most developed.
Yeah, Susan was pretty cool.
She had a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was pretty cool. And I, full disclosure, I watched the movie once completely sober, taking notes, and then I watched it right after with the riff tracks while drinking, so.
Yeah, I just watched the riff tracks.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good time?
To be honest, I did the same thing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into it fresh. And then I'm going to watch the riff track so I don't make the same jokes, because they're going to do it better anyway. So, and it was highly entertaining. I didn't do it while drinking, though. That was my mistake.
Oh, man, my favorite was just when they went and you see the bat, and then they shout something like, look at me, or something like that. What'd they say?
Yeah, it was a Batman reference.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. And I didn't even get the reference.
Paris, don't ever change. Don't ever change. Well, anyway, welcome back to talking about riff tracks. All right, let's see. Head in the washer. That was fun. I'm looking at my notes. We had the dick kick from the farmer. I thought that was...
That was hilarious.
That was a good choice. I like that they had Mickey Mouse, but they kind of had to fake it a little bit. You couldn't really see Mickey. Because obviously that's copywritten.
Right.
I loved the music. I really liked the music.
Yes. Except for everything except for the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, or whatever it was.
Oh, the baby doll nursery.
Yeah, that kind of, I was like, I don't know, man. And then the rest of it, I really enjoyed. Like when they were coming in the house when they first got there, that music was actually really good, and I could see that in something today.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like a kick-ass beat.
Yeah, the music wasn't bad. It actually reminded me of like the original Children of the Damned. That music was very similar.
Yeah, the nursery, and we don't even really know what it is. It's not really a song. People keep saying it's like a nursery rhyme or a song, but it's kind of neither. And it is creepy.
It is. I kept expecting them to like play it the other way and it be saying something demonic.
Right.
Which is another thing I think they kind of skipped over. Like, they could have done that, and that would have been creepy. Like, oh, here's this eerie song we've been hearing the whole movie, and here's what it actually is saying.
Especially with the tape recorder and everything like that.
I thought they were gearing up for that.
Even adding a minor, low, offbeat, a deep audio, even a growl to the bottom, to underneath of it, underneath the lighthearted sounds would have added a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a Creed song underneath the,
yeah.
Like that. No, I get what you're saying. I agree. Like something that's just kind of more sinister to kind of like put an edge on it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the doll?
Oh, that doll.
That's not a good doll to give to your child.
No.
I don't have children. Pars, you have some children, right?
Yeah, I have
two. In the universe. Would you ever?
No. Like, I think that he was asking for problems, Daddy.
Yeah. That's
and I didn't understand how it looked so, like, everybody was so afraid of it. Like, I know people are afraid of clowns, but I've seen creepier looking happy clowns.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, it was definitely, but my response would be, not a, primal scream. Like, even its scary face was like, okay, well, that's weird. But it's like those stuffed animals you can get that when you squeeze them, their face goes from super cute to, like, fangs.
Yeah.
Like, those are way creepier.
I think I'm in the minority in this one. I think I would let out a primal scream. I'm like, no, thank you.
Though, in fairness, any doll changes its face, I'm going to nope out of there, so.
Yeah, especially if it starts grabbing you and pulling your hair.
Yeah. Whipped it across the room and just been gone.
Yeah, I'm not into that. Sorry, doll, I'm not into that. Yeah, I was not a fan of the doll. I think whoever did the doll makeup and made it did a pretty good job. It does look kind of cheap, it looks kind of like something that you would find at a flea market, to be honest.
Well, the funding guy, didn't he leave partway because he saw the direction the movie was going? Didn't I read that somewhere?
Well, that's not a great sign.
Yeah, you know what? Probably. I tried to read up on this some. It was hard to find things behind the scenes. I got a lot of stuff like about the movie itself, which again was kind of interesting because people keep saying that she's psychic, which I never got. I only thought she was a girl then who got, possessed or whatever by evil doll from Dead
that's
Child.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. I don't think she was psychic. I guess maybe people thought the light was being psychic. I don't know.
I don't know. There was something magical about her, though, or maybe they just really messed up two big parts. When she supposedly killed the cat, she's standing there in a white silk dress, and there is no blood on this child. Not on her hands, not on her dress, not on her shoes, not on her hair. Like, there's no blood on her. And I have to think, if you killed a cat and you're wearing a white dress, there would be blood all over you.
See, this is my interpretation of that, because when we see her parents getting killed, it's with creepy old hand, and she's still in the basement. So this was my interpretation, is that she is just not a vessel, but something that's kind of like that. She's not actually doing the killing.
That's what I thought originally too, but they never brought that up. Like, it feels like they meant to do all these things, and then they just,
Well, I think it was like the kid that got buried without the doll, And that's the connection between it's undead and, you know, it's cursed and it's not is the little girl.
And that would have worked really well if they had brought out, like, the spirit or even, you know, the rotting body of the dead child, even though, you know, that might have been traumatic. That's the point. It's a horror movie. Instead, we got a Halloween decoration with, obviously, fake maggots on its face.
I've actually got him right on my screen right now.
I kind of liked it.
For her.
Okay, that's true. Don't assume it's gender.
That's, it got showed up, I'm like, well, where is this from?
It is death. It is the end-all, be-all.
That was not a great interpretation of death.
I don't know, it was pretty gross.
That's, I feel like I keep comparing it to other movies, but yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
My Are you absolute... comparing it to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
No. Oh. I might now, though. Okay. No, I was going to compare it to Lost Boys, which is probably my second favorite movie of all time, okay. Which came out a year before and had a maggot scene. Anyone who hasn't seen this before, the main character, Michael, is in a cave eating Chinese food with the vampires. And the main vampire says, "How do you like those maggots?" And he looks down into the Chinese food container. Hope no one's eating Chinese tonight. And it is full of writhing, very clearly, very live, maggots.
Yeah.
I think that was done in Ghost Ship, too.
Yeah, it was. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Then there was that one movie, I can't remember what it was, but there's a giant maggot that raped a lady. I can't remember what that
one was. There's maggots in Suspiria.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, maggots in our little armies, because they're cringy. Like, nobody, like, a lot of people like different kind of bugs. Nobody likes maggots.
And there, yeah. That's another Italian, right?
Yeah. From, you know, I think so, yeah.
Argento, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is funny, because we don't get a ghost cat, which...
Yeah, that would have made more sense. Like, where did the dog come from?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there were a lot of scenes missing.
Yeah, or if it was, like, a story within a story. Like, it was a book. I feel like if I had read the book, I would have known a lot more.
I don't know. I think if I had read the book, I'd be even more irritated. As I've been asked to leave theaters because I've read the book and then went to see the movie. So
you get pretty riled up, don't you?
I do. This is my life, man. I almost got into a fight with someone once because they told me that Walt Disney wrote Winnie the Pooh.
You're feisty.
I am. That's hey, this stuff matters, man.
I didn't mind the maggot face scene, especially because it was on the face. I feel like maggots on my face. Like, it's one thing to be like, okay, food. All right. Like, that's gross. It's a gross thing, but my tummy acid's going to be like, look, you're dead, you know? But on my face, eating me, that's, to me, a lot more blech. Just kind of like in Zombie, which is another Italian. Maggots on the face are, I think, a lot more powerful. And they were, they had good close shots of just maggots just wiggling around, having a great time.
See, I must have missed that because I didn't see them moving at all.
Oh, I did. I did. Or I imagined paused. It.
Hmm? I was just messing. I can't tell because mine's paused.
Okay. I feel like they did in my heart. Those maggots were moving. And
if they were moving, it's way creepier. But the only one I saw moving was the one like dangling from his chin. And that's just because the puppet was moving and...
Oh, I just double checked. A couple of them were moving.
Whoa. Okay, so I am wrong.
Okay.
One on the chin, one on the eye. Oof. Ooh.
Yeah. Do you want to go into the 5 points?
Sure.
All right. Let's stroll on over there into the 5 points. So we're gonna talk about technical skill, concept, and creativity, emotional power, cultural relevance, and that's it. That's 5. I can count. So first on the technical skill, so that's like efficient use of language, genre to convey the meaning, the cinematography, acting, writing, Foley, everything. Where do you place that, Pars?
2.
Okay, 2. Okay.
I did like a couple of the camera movement.
Okay. So that raised it? You like the cinematography?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Nicole?
I'm going to give it a 1.
Oof.
I really enjoyed any time they did anything with glass, like the light bulb bursting or the jar of something that looks like my sourdough starter breaking, or the mirror. Like, those things were really cool. Everything else just felt like I was very aware that I was watching a movie with all the other technical aspects.
Okay. So 1 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 3. I felt like the cinematography was pretty good. I really liked the designs of the settings. The acting was not great. The writing was not great. Okay, I guess I'm going to go with a 2.5. 2.5 technical skill. All right. Let's move on to concept. So concept is the imaginative ideas, creativity, which is the subject matter and content, meaning and significance. Nicole, you want to start us off?
Okay. I gave it a 1. I feel like the concept, while it's a good concept, other movies had done it before far better, and it just felt very intellectually lazy.
Oof.
On the side of the writer.
Oof.
I'm sorry.
Lindsay, I'm so sorry. Okay, Pars, come on, what do you got?
I would have to give it a 2. So I do feel like it started to go in a couple of really good areas. I think it was very much a rough draft or something that, was just written to get put out, which is really unfortunate. But I do think that there's a couple of areas where they did pry to touch on some good concept. So my score will be 2.
That's fair. I'm going to put it at a 2.5. And that's because I do like the concept. I like ghost houses. I like the spookiness of it. I feel like they did bite off more than they can chew with so many characters. But I did like the ideas behind it. I just don't feel like that they were met to fruition. I feel like with a little bit of extra writing that they could have done something a little bit more meaningful, but I feel like there was something behind it. We just didn't get to there. And whether that's through lack of funding, whether that's through the chaos of making La Casa 3, whatever that went through, unfortunately, it didn't meet to where it needed to go. All right, we're going to move on to aesthetics. The sense of beauty, the elevation of senses and pleasure. Pars, you want to start us off?
Yeah, with aesthetics, I'll give it a 3, between a 3 and 3.5, I guess. So I think the audio, for the most part, was done really well. Things rose when they should have rose, they fell when they should have fell. The intensity was there when it needed to be. I thought the house was beautiful. I thought the colors, they weren't too bright. It was like you could see yourself being there during that day. Like you could picture, like it looked very real, like the outside settings especially. But I think they could have done more, so I can't raise it past a 3.5.
It's pretty good, though. That's pretty good. All right. What about you, Nicole?
I would definitely give the aesthetics a 3. The house looked like somewhere that you would feel comfortable going into. It didn't have that air of only an idiot would walk into this house. And I appreciated that. In particular, the staircases were very beautiful. The music was good. The overall costumes were very good. They looked very natural. They looked very 80s, but it was an 80s movie, so that makes sense. So I would give that a 3, yeah.
I love that fringe jacket that she wears at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like all fringe.
Screams 80s.
It was beautiful. I would give the aesthetics also 3.5 because it makes me just nostalgic for those movies, because even though it's muted with kind of the darkness and the spider webs and things like that, you see these beautiful bright colors that are dimmed by curses and oldness and grossness and things like that, but it's part of the character of the movie and it's part of the concept. It makes it just so much more beautiful and enjoyable and entertaining. Visually, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought, even though it was kind of silly, like there were night shots, but they were very, very well lit, and I kind of liked that. I unfortunately wrote, hey, there's no day for night shots. I spoke too soon. I was wrong. There was, but I just loved the long, empty, colorful hallways and the clown and the the beautiful little girl, and visually was very beautiful. The music was fun. It was maybe a little out of place sometimes because it was a kicky beat, but I enjoyed it, you know, and it did give me pleasure and it did elevate my senses. So 3.5. All right. So we're going to go to emotional power. So the symbolism behind it, your interpretation, art as experience, oneself in relationship to the universe kind of a deal. I think I started with PARS last time. So Nicole, do you want to start off?
I would give this a 1, and only because I felt bad for the mortician when he died, because he didn't deserve that. I just did not care about any of the other characters. I was not upset when they died. I didn't feel bad for anybody. I felt like a lot of the characters were unrealistically obnoxious. Their relationships didn't feel natural. I had no emotional connection to any of the characters whatsoever, except for possibly the dog, because it was a dog.
What about Pepe?
Pepe was cool. But as soon as I saw him, as soon as he was on the screen, I knew he's going to die. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a glorious death.
No, it was a very, very sad death.
Yeah. What about you, Pars?
I would have to say, for emotional power, I want to rate it a 3. And let me tell you why. So, depending on the viewer, life experience, maturity level, this film could be harmful.
Okay. How so?
With the way the women characters were portrayed, with the way the male characters were portrayed, you know, certain actions being considered acceptable, with what the director did with the black characters, I guess I forgot about the one. But from a creating perspective, I think that this movie can be very helpful to maybe see what you don't want to emulate, what society doesn't need you to make.
So take this as an example.
Right.
It did pass the Bechdel test.
It did?
Yes, it did. I always listen for it. It passed the Bechdel test.
Boom. Seal of approval.
No seal of approval from a feminist standpoint. I'm just shocked that it approval. Did that.
Seal of approval. And we had 2 final girls and a guy. That was, well, he didn't. I mean, after a while.
I don't know what test you're talking about. What's that?
Oh, the Bechdel test is so cool. Sorry, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
It is a movie, to pass the Bechdel test, has to do 3 things. They have to have at least 2 female characters who talk to each other about something other than a man.
Yep.
Extra points if they both have names.
That's it.
And it's terrifying how many movies, modern movies, do not pass that test.
Yeah. Even Night of the Comet, which I love, does not pass that test. And I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Sadly, a lot of the Marvel movies don't.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
But we're getting there. We're getting there. At least
I'm going to keep that in mind. Yeah. I'll keep that in my mind. Every movie probably now.
And I forget, was it, what was the person's name? Was it Alison Bechdel or something? I'm terrible at remembering names.
That sounds right. I'd have to look it up, though.
Okay. I'm terrible. Sorry, people that are listening. I'm terrible. Look it up in feminist theory. And it is really interesting. But yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that. So it's feminist, guys.
No, it's not.
Boom.
Oh, man. I'm wondering now. That movie I wanted to do next week, Box, or next time. I'm wondering if this, you know, movie probably does not pass that test.
That's okay.
But I think that's for part of its reason.
That's okay.
We can get into that later.
I mean, like, yeah. it can be art and still fail it, you know? That's fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of great movies that don't pass it. You're right, it is Allison.
Okay, cool. I remembered something today.
I'm sorry, not passing it, but like kind of proving it, like having that be part of it message.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it, especially we'll talk about it next week. Let me talk about my emotional power. I'm going to give this a 4 cuz I'm weird like that. Again, this kind of film makes me very nostalgic. It puts me in a very happy place. It puts me in relation to the universe. as strange as that may be, because of its strangeness, because of its silliness, to be honest, it's movies like this that made me stop being scared of movies and scared of the unknown and scared of all the things that I can't control in my life. I used to be very, very scared of all of these kind of movies and would never even touch them at all. And it's movies like this that were that bridge to get to where I am today and loving the things that I love today. So when I see things like this and I see the fake eye full of fake glass, it makes me warm inside because I'm like, somebody did their best to make that look as gross as possible with as little money as they probably did and probably had a shitty day doing it. But they did the best that they could so I could enjoy it. And so it makes it a little bit more powerful to me then. So.
Very good.
That's really sweet.
All right. So we're going to move on to cultural relevance. The influence, the communication of ideas and philosophical and political relevance. So I forgot who I'm terrible with things. I think I started with Nicole, so I think it's Pars now.
I think I actually said my answer already, but I'm trying to think about what my score would be. Why don't we come back to me?
Okay, sure. Nicole, what would you put this on for cultural relevance?
Am I allowed to give it a flat zero?
Nope. 1 through 5.
Okay. All right. I'm give it a 1. Because I had never heard about it. I never heard of the remake. And as we've established, I'm way too into horror movies. It's probably a problem. I feel like gender relations wise, it was a huge step backwards. Race wise, it was offensive. I don't feel like this put a mark on, and it, maybe it did in Italy, but as far as like American culture, I don't feel like it left much of a mark. I feel like, again, it paled in comparison to older movies that did these tropes so much better.
Okay. Pars, do you have... No, that's fine. It's your opinion. It's wrong, but it's your opinion.
That's if it makes you feel better. I love Rocky Horror Picture Show, and so you can mock me for that.
I love that too.
Why would I mock you for that? It's a beautiful movie.
Lots of people. Oh, I love that. It's a good movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's art. I don't even have to watch it to know that's art. Pars.
The only thing I can think of right now is that it, and I feel bad saying this because you do hold this film high, but it makes horror creators look bad.
Okay, what number would that be?
I guess 1.
Woof. Sorry, Lindsay. R.I.P.
Is he really dead?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's, I feel like, no, I probably would have said all the same things if I knew he was dead. Never mind.
Yeah.
I would say it's his grave right here, right now.
Yeah, like, look, I love you, dude, but as a creator, we got to be honest with each other.
Bring me your grave. I'm going to spit on it. My cultural relevance part of it, I'm going to give it a 3. Again, the communication of ideas, it has so many ideas and so much communication to it. But when it comes to cultural relevancy, we do have a relevancy. I mean, like I've said previously, this has been riffed by so many people. And there's a reason why. It's bonkers. It has crazy bonkers things. It has really bad line reads. You know, it has candelabras that float and then disappear into a nursing dog. It's weird and it's wacky and it's fun. And I feel like that in its own right and it's in its own genre is relevant. I feel like you could play this at a movie night at some midnight showing and people would dig it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's middle ground, a 3. It's not The Room, but it's something that still can be fun. We all saw the riff tracks. We all had fun with it. Sometimes even bad movies are just not riffable.
Yeah. So after that, I have to raise mine to a 2 because of, yeah. I mean, yeah, my husband's just sitting here laughing the whole movie. So, I mean, he enjoyed it very much. And I enjoyed him enjoying it. So, yeah.
I mean, I will say there was not a point in the movie where I was bored.
Yeah.
And that to me, that means something, because I watched something like Slender Man, and I literally fell asleep in the theater.
And that's so disappointing, because that's a fun character. I've written stories about that character and made money off it, and that movie was just sadly disappointing.
Yeah. And that's the bad movie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's something to be said about this kind of movie. Some would disagree. I know my spouse would, but I know that some would. I'm obviously, because there's a huge following of riff tracks and MST3K and things like that. People enjoy that. So, all right. So we're going to give a bottom line if we can consider it art. Basically, the very end all be all, 1 to 5 rating. We consider this art. Pars, how about we start off with you?
2.
Okay. What about you?
I'm going to give it a 2.5 because I think about half of the people working on it really cared. And so for them, it was art.
I'm going to be weird. I'm going to give it a 3.5. Which I think is better than I gave the other one that we watched the other time.
Yeah, I think so.
Because this one, I think, will stick with me more. I'll think of that stupid clown and be like, ram, ram, ram,
ram, ram, ram. I will remember like, this too.
Stupid fucking clown. Whereas Boatman's Daughter, I'll be like, I think there was braids, and I think there was like Frank from Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a balls to the wall weird movie.
All right. Does anybody want to plug anything? We're writers at Haunted MTL, guys. Go look at us. Go read what we wrote. Do you guys got anything that's coming out?
Yes. My newest book is going to be on pre-sale as of Tuesday.
Sweet. Tell us about your book.
It's called Falling from Grace. It is a dark fantasy about a woman watching the man that she respects fall into madness and destroy her country.
Sounds like a good old-fashioned romp.
Yeah, very fun. No.
But like something you read to the kids.
Yeah.
If you want your kids to be Franz Kafka.
it's definitely got a Nietzsche feel to it.
All right, Pards, do you got anything?
I just want to say that next time we're going to be talking about...
That's right. I'm so sorry. You're right. Everybody, I'm a big dunce. Pars, you get to pick the next movie. What is the next movie going to be?
It is going to be Bully, 2001's Bully. And anybody who wants to watch that, it's on Amazon Prime. I need to talk to people about this movie.
She has been obsessing about this movie.
I just watched it a few days ago.
That's why I'm laughing, because she's been like, people need to watch this. I need people to watch this.
What is it called? Bully?
Bully, yeah.
Like a, not a billy goat.
And I don't want to say anything about it. If you haven't seen it, just go in.
I have not seen it, so I'm just gonna go right in.
And keep in mind, my husband was shown this movie when he was 14 years old. I am just now watching it. He finally talked me into watching it, and I need to talk to somebody.
Well, we are going to go way in depth with it next time. We're gonna figure it out. Also, do you guys have any recommendations if people like Ghost House? I think, Nicole, you said that you really liked Child's Play.
Yes, I haven't seen the remake yet, but Child's Play is one of my favorite. If you enjoy haunted dolls, the original Child's Play is astounding. Please don't compare it to the later movies in the series. It is eerie. It is dark. There is a sense of betrayal as a child that is difficult to explain, that it is definitely worth the watch. If you've never seen the original, you have to watch it.
Okay.
All I remember is Chucky saying, I've got a date with a 6-year-old boy.
See, that is not the line that sticks with me.
He's a really good artist too. Charles, what's his face? He has a mural. He drew a mural.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in the really movie. Cool. I'm like, he draws real good.
Yeah, the guy who plays Freddy is a painter. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Pars, do you have things to plug and things to recommend?
I guess I recommend the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and then Mars Attack and then Rubber.
Okay.
Those are all movies.
Those are all movies. Do you got anything coming out soon? Or did you put anything out that you're proud of?
I recently put out an article about Tiger King, and if you liked that, some other, from a horror perspective, some other recommendations. And then I've got, I'm working on, it's taking me longer than I thought, I'm working on my Lars von Trier ranked scariest list. You
Again,
can't watch all his,
me.
You know, right after, yeah. right after another. You have to...
Like Chomsky, you can't just read it, you have to like take little sips.
Yeah.
Can't just go right in. I just wrote about loss and horror. I would suggest go checking that out, Jan Brannick. Yes. And I would suggest, man, there's so many good films about ghosts and houses and dolls. How about you guys go watch The Boy? That was fun. And
that's
that was
on my list.
And that was kind of, it's more of a muted one because it's new, because all new movies have to be muted. But it's kind of in the same vein as this, just new. And I still found it very silly and fun. And I would recommend it.
Is that the one based on Robert the Doll?
I don't think so, but maybe. No, well, I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay. Because so. I know there was one that came out recently and love that story, but...
I don't think so. You'd have to talk to Evie. I think she talked about some story about Robert the Doll. He's like really popular right now. He's so famous right now. Let's all write a story about Robert the Doll, everybody.
I could do that.
All right.
Robert
I like
the Doll
your
meets
article.
Annabelle.
Your last article. I like that.
Yeah, that was really good. Yours was good too, Farz.
Good read.
Yeah, thank you. All right, well, that's it, people. So come join us where we talk about Bully in great length, because Pars wants to, and...
Who wants to join us?
Yeah, come join us. Let's talk about bullies and other things that I don't know about, because I'm going right in. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.